Look in 1 John. It's a letter written by the disciple that it says about this disciple. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Interesting way he said it, because Jesus loved everybody, but there was something special about this. There was something special about this relationship they had, right? And that disciple, John, writes this letter, this little bitty short letter. We put numbers to it, so it's five chapters. But this little letter was written to folks just like us. And it was written by somebody who Jesus loved, and was written to let us know that He loves us. And there's reason to believe it. Okay? What I want us to do is, just for a second, I want us to walk through it. Those of us who've been here a while, go to chapter 1 and tell me, what's one way you can know for sure that Jesus loves you? What's one way for sure that you could say, God loves me? I may have way too much debt. I may have so much debt I can't hardly breathe. Or I may have such a relationship with my wife or my husband that I just can't feel at peace. Or man, my children are just acting up so bad I don't know if I'm going to make it through these 10 years. Or my parents are so misunderstanding, so hateful and so harsh and so terrible, I don't know that I'll ever have anybody that loves me. All of the issues that we have in this room alone, not talking about other things that could be out there, not the ones I didn't even mention, how can you know, even with all of that mess that goes on, that God still loves you? Where's the promise? What does He say? In chapter 1, how do I know, what can I say that proves to me that God loves me? That if I'll be honest about it, look what He says, if I'll be honest about it, if I'll quit trying to hide it, if I'll quit trying to justify it, if I'll quit trying to explain it, or blame somebody else for it, then if I walk in the light with Him, the blood of His Son will keep on cleansing me, and He will forgive. Look at that verse 10. What does He say? 9 and 10. He says He will forgive all unrighteousness. Nobody here is going to make promises to you about your debt. Nobody here that I know of is going to make any promises about special things happening tomorrow for your sick child or for your ailing parent. I don't do that. And if God says it, we'll repeat it. But this is written in God's Word and does not change. That if you will admit your sins to God as you walk in His light, He will forgive you. He loves you. Chapter 2. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. Tell me, how do you know God loves you? You're worried about your debt. I know. You're worried about your kids. I know. You're worried about your parents. I know. But how do you know God loves you even when you just don't think you're going to be able to make it? That when you make the worst mistake of your life, when you sin, when you choose to do what you know you shouldn't have done, where does Jesus stand? He stands at your side and He defends you. So He forgives you, chapter 1. He defends you, chapter 2. Look in chapter 3. And there's a couple of them that just jumped off the page. Look at verse 1. How great is the love of the Father that has, what is it? Lavished on us. What's the word lavish mean? Thick. Rich. I mean, He just lathered it up, right? And look what He says. He lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Somebody may say you're a liar. God says you are His child. Someone may say you're an adulterer. God says you're His child. Somebody may say you're a lazy, no count, sorry, no good, worthless, whatever, and I can't repeat in church kind of words. What does God say? Look what He says. That we should be called children of God. Now underline that next one if it's not already underlined. And that is what we are. So he forgives us, he defends us, he lavishes us. Chapter 4 says he loves us. So much so that he sent his son to die for us. So much so he sent his spirit to live in us. So God wants to be with us, in us, always. Now chapter 5. What? Yeah, you want me to go back to that? All right. Brad wants me to remind you of 3:16. You don't want to miss it. And I... There are people in your life, and I know us, except for the few visitors. I know us, and I know that there are people in your life that try to, and it's... The classic is, well, I know they didn't mean to do it. Yeah, they did. There are people in your lives, I know them. And I know something about them. And they mean to hurt your feelings. They mean to make you feel bad. But the person you have more trouble with than anybody else, honest, the person that you have more trouble with than anybody else is yourself. It's that way for me. I love these words. I mean, I hang on to these promises. I walk in the light. He's going to keep on forgiving me. He stands there with me and defends me. Chapter 2. Chapter 3, man, he calls me a child of God in spite of what everybody else would call me. But chapter 3 says, when your own heart condemns you, guess what? I didn't write this, y'all. I would have loved to have said that I claim that came from me, but I'd really rather it not come from me, because then it wouldn't necessarily be true all the time. But since it came from God, it is true all the time. When your heart condemns you, read what it says. You want to put your heart at rest? You want to reassure your heart? You want to get a little bit of breath? You want to get a little bit of peace? Guess what? God is greater than your heart. God is greater than your heart, and He knows all things. So when you remember, or someone else says, you just got to hold on to this thought, God is greater than my heart. He forgives, He defends, He lavishes, He loves. Read chapter 5 with me, first few verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now there's lots of things involved in that, okay? Let's take a minute. There's lots of things that are involved in that. It's not just you say in your head, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and boom, you're born of God. We know better than that. This same writer, writing about this same Jesus, writing about this same kind of relationship, this fellowship they had, will say that he will repeat the words of Jesus in John chapter 3. Now you've got to be born again. It's not just about wishing it. It's not about just willing it. No, it's a faith that it allows, if that's a better word, God to cause you to be born again, to be born anew. You can be born, really, you can be born new. You can get a new start. You can get a chance at a whole new life if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because if you believe He's the Son of God, then He can, by water and by the Spirit, He can cause you to be born again. You can get a whole new start in life. Keep reading. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Makes sense, right? If I love the Father, I'm going to love Jesus. If I love the Father, I'm also going to love you. This is how we know that we love the children of God. How do we know that? How do we know it? Read the statement. By loving God and carrying out His commands. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. It's very practical, very specific, very plain. Once in a while, folks will say to me, well, man, I just can't understand the Bible. It's just so hard to understand. And there are places, the Bible even says that it's hard to understand. So I got no problem with that. But people will say, well, because it's hard to understand, they won't read it at all. Read this statement one more time and see how hard it is. How do you want to show somebody that you love them? How do you want to show God that you love Him? How do you want to show God's Son that you love Him? How do you want to show God's children that you love them? Look at that last phrase of verse 2. Go ahead and underline it. How? By, and you read it so you know I'm not making it up. By loving God and carrying out His commands. It's really incredible what can happen if you'll just carry out the commands. Just do what he tells you. Folks, what would happen? And I'm walking through stuff that affects us. Us. I'm not talking to anybody else. I'm talking to us. What would happen? What would happen inside your home, inside your marriage, for those who are married, what would happen inside your marriage if you just started obeying the commands of God? I know there are great seminars. There are great seminars about marriage. And there are great books about marriage. Lots of them. But how about, let's simplify our lives for a second. What about just starting to do what you're supposed to do? Just do what God commands about your husband. Do what God commands about your wife. Do what God commands about your children. Do what God commands about your parents. Incredible things could begin to happen if you just obeyed the commands of God. That would be true in your own life. That would be true in your family, in your marriage. How about true in your job? You're not getting paid what you think you're worth. Well, guess what? Read in the paper this last week, Derek Jeter, who gets paid more than anybody that I know, didn't think he was getting paid enough either. Good night. Give me 1 year of his salary and I'll retire for the rest of my life. And I'm not as good looking as old Jeter, but... Well, I don't know. Maybe... No. Just teasing. Point is, nobody ever thinks they get paid what they're worth. But I heard an old preacher say it one time, said, "Man, I'm glad they don't pay me what I'm worth. I couldn't live on that." And that's where I am. Yeah, that's where I am right now. But you see the point? If we just do what God tells us to do, we start making all kinds of adjustments. I love you, but I know you. We do it. We do it. We make all kinds of adjustments. Our boss isn't treating us right, so we begin to make shortcuts. Or we take things that are not ours because, well, they won't miss it. And he doesn't pay me enough. Or that boss not treating me. No. You do what God commands. We do that with our mates. Well, he's not treating me right, so I'll... No. Don't change your behavior because of how somebody else is behaving. One more time. We don't change our behavior because of how somebody else is behaving. We obey the commands of God, whether anybody else does or not. Well, that's just not fair. I heard a great line the other day in a movie. Don't remember the movie, but I love the line so much it stuck in my head. I'm going to quote it for the rest of my life. He said, "Life is not fair. But you can be." I don't know that my boss will ever be fair, but I can be. I don't know about my mate, my kids, my parents, and you understand I'm using me as the illustration there. I don't know that they'll be fair, but I can be. We can do the commands of God whether anybody else does them or not. Keep reading. This is love for God. Okay, so you want to know how to love God's children? Obey His commands. You want to know how to love God? Keep reading. To obey His commands. Now, when God repeats something, what do you know? Now, when God repeats something, we've learned it here. It must mean we're a little slow of learning, right? And it doesn't take much looking at us to figure that out, right? Okay? We need some reminder, and God reminds us. You want to love my children? Keep my commandments. You want to love me? Keep my commandments. And in case you didn't get it, keep my commandments. Look at the last phrase. Look at the last phrase. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem we have with commandments. We feel like commandments are a bother. We feel like commandments get in our way. We feel like commandments are against us. His commands are not burdensome. Okay, stop. Don't read anymore. His commandments are not, and He's going to tell us why. But we've got to back up a second. We have trouble, especially, now it's all over the world, but especially Americans, and especially younger Americans, from my age down, we have a lot of trouble with commands because we think everybody owes us something, or I need to explain. Do you remember those of us? Some of us were raised at a time when parents didn't know that they were supposed to explain themselves. It was just amazing to me. I mean, I was told you're going to do this, and if I said why, you didn't say why. You just said yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Really. Or lightning would strike you. Or something else would, you know. And I can remember, and it was my, I'm telling you, it's my age group. We messed it up, and I apologize for all of us. But parents, we got to get a hold on this thing. And kids, I'm sorry for what you're about to hear, but here's the truth. My generation started saying, well, when I grow up, you know, I'm not going to do that to my kids. I'm not going to tell my kids to do something just because I said so. I'm not going to tell my kids, you know, I'm not ever going to say that to them. You stop crying or I'll make you use something to cry about. Huh? I can remember though, one of the questions my dad asked me, I thought was always one of the funny questions. It was not funny that day. But it is funny now. When he looked at me, he said, boy, do you want a whipping? Let me think about this, Dad. Yeah, that wasn't one I had to vote on, y'all. That was an easy one. No, whip Roger. That's he can't use it. That was not a problem. But my generation started saying things like, when I grow up and have kids, you know, I'm going to explain to my kids. And it happened. I thought they were like, because in my life, I was lying. Because all of a sudden, my kids started, and I'd say, because I said to. And I'd look around thinking, who's in the house, right? And I remember when I told them, I said, you stop crying or I'll give you, ooh, I said it. It came right out. Because I said, but my generation wrote a ton of books. And you watch it, go to the mall and listen to parents explain things to their 3-year-old. I'm sorry, 3-year-olds do not understand. 3-year-olds were meant to just do what they're told. 3-year-olds don't have the ability to have abstract thought. And I hear parents trying to explain, well, you know, the economy is really bad now, honey. What economy? They think you don't have money, write a check. You don't have a check, use the card. Right? Does that, right? But we my generation did all of that. So let's go back, let's simplify things. Let's just simplify. Instead of thinking commandments are a problem, they are not a problem. When your mama told you no, don't touch that hot stove, it was not because she was trying to warp your little character or cramp your little style. No, it was to protect your little hide, right? And when you reached up for the stove and she grabbed you and squinted your hand and said no, your little baby brain exploded. Well, I'm man, when I get big, I'm not ever going to spank my kid for that, you know. And you, I wish I knew my numbers. I'd call 911. Yeah. The reason you did that is to protect that child. Folks, the reason you have to tell them no about some other things is to protect them. It may not be as obvious as a burned hand. But you tell me we can't teach our children to avoid greed now while they're little? This old idea that they got to get something every time you go to the store, every time you get a little bit of a paycheck. Some of us have got, I love you, but some of you have got the mentality that once you get paid and that the kids have gotten involved in this. And I'm sorry, children, you're hearing this, but here's the truth. You get paid and kids say, well, you got your paycheck, let's go get me some stuff. You know what kind of stuff is really good for kids? A house to live in and food to eat and utilities that keep them warm. That little bit of junk you're going to buy them is going to last how long?
5 minutes.
Maybe. And I once more time, to those of you who think you just have to buy your child that helium balloon, repent for the error of your ways. You're just causing the poor kid trauma. I walked out in the parking lot the other day. Guess what was flying through the air? Helium balloon. Guess who was down on the ground bawling her eyes out? Some parent who didn't. By the way, if you're going to buy it, tie it to them. Maybe the helium will take them with them. Did I say that out loud? I should have said that. Bad teacher. The point is, it's okay to tell your kids no. God tells us no. And the commandments are not burdensome. I didn't write that. God said that. He knows His commandments are not burdensome. Think about it. If we really did live in a world where you didn't kill and you didn't steal and you didn't commit adultery and you didn't lie and you didn't covet, if we really lived in a world where they obeyed those commands, what would it be like? It would be heaven on earth. That's really what it was intended. It was meant to give us something like paradise here had we obeyed the commandments, but we didn't obey the commandments. We started making some compromises. We started readjusting things to fit what we thought was best. Well, now the way I see it is, well, bless your heart, you're not God. Here's the way God sees it. Now look at why He says His commandments are not burdensome. You got to underline this one, folks. For everyone born of God, that's the folks that believe in Jesus, who've been born again, born of water and born of Spirit. He said, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Underline it, circle it, memorize it. If I have been born again, if I have been born of God, I overcome the world. I will pay my debts as best I can because that's the commandment of God. I will love my wife the best I can. That's the commandment of God. I will raise my children to respect the Lord and people because that's the commandment of the Lord. But I don't know how much money I'll have. I don't know what size house I'll live in. I don't know what kind of car I'll drive. I don't know whether people will think I'm somebody special or not. But I will overcome the world. I don't know about riches and wealth and fame and fortune. I do know this, that if you obey God's commandments, you'll overcome the world. And isn't that what we want, honest? Isn't that what we want more than anything else? Now, I understand when you got debt and they're telling you, and if you hadn't gotten one, there's some of us in here know exactly what this means. We're turning off the lights. We're turning off the gas. If we don't get this much money by this date, this time, we're going to cut it off. People in this room, get those letters. I've gotten them. And not know what to do about it. And there are people in this room that can't make the car payment. And the car's about to go back. Or they can't make the rent. And they don't know what's going to happen if the landlord decides to pour clothes on them. They don't know what to do. I don't know about that stuff. I know this. Obey God's commands. You'll overcome the world. I don't know if it'll happen by Thursday, but you'll overcome the world. This is the victory. Read the next phrase. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. There it is. It's our faith. I can't pay all my debts, but I can do what God wants me to do. I can't pay for all of my mistakes in the past, but I can love my wife and my husband and my kids, my parents. I don't know what else I can do in this world, but I can put my faith in God and let Him do amazing things through me. I will overcome the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's start there. Let's start there. We get caught up with jobs and money and bills and stuff. We got stuff. We got so much stuff that it's cluttered our minds and hearts. It's choking us. We got all that stuff. Let's simplify our lives. Let's go back to this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Can you do that? Can you do that much today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you have access to becoming a child of God. Now, you have to be born again. You can't just say it and it be that way. You got to believe it. You got to show that faith and you be born of water and born of the Spirit. You're born again. You start over brand new. You get a new life. And as you live that new life, guess what? You're going to have to face some old stuff when you live a new life. You know that's right. You just start a new life, you still got some old stuff in those closets, right? You got some old stuff in those chest of drawers. You got some old stuff up in your attic. You got to get rid of that old stuff. You got to deal with some of that stuff. And some of it's debt, and it's not going to be taken care of overnight. And some of it's relationships that are not going to be rebuilt overnight. So what you got to do is put your faith in Jesus and do what God wants you to do. He says it twice in this little bitty section. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So let's believe in Jesus. Let's let Him give us that new life, born of water and the Spirit. And then let's keep His commandments. Let Him keep His commandments. Let Him change our world by just doing those things. Keep His commandments. And have this faith that if I do what Jesus wants me to do, I'll overcome the world. Will I ever get to retire? Don't expect to. And really wasn't planning on it anyway. Right? After all of my mess, the guy that was my... He would call himself my financial advisor. There wasn't much finance to advise, but after all my mess, he looked at me when there was nothing, when everything in my bank account and finances went to zero. We reset, hit the reset button. And I had the money that was in my pocket. And the lawyer asked for that money, by the way. True. The lawyer said, how much money have you got in your pocket right now? And I told him. He said, we'll take that too. When your life is hit to reset zero, I don't know how your plans will change. I don't know size of houses. I don't know about cars. I don't know how fast you'll pay off debt. I don't know how long it'll take to repair some relationships. I can tell you this, some will never be fixed. Some will never be fixed. Don't let people kid you. Some of them are not going to be fixed. But let's make sure it's not on your side that it's not being fixed. You can't fix everybody else. You just start working on you. But I do know this. I don't know about all those things, but I know this. If I put my faith in Jesus, I'll overcome the world. And I don't know what will be said about me on that day that I'm supposed to be having that funeral that I'm not going to have. But honestly, it won't matter because I'll have overcome the world. And be real honest, you can say anything you want to me about me here and now. Once I'm there... It won't matter, will it? We live and wait for that moment, don't we? Our faith will help us overcome the world.